Okay, let's get started. Let's get started with this Board of Shelter Commission meeting for the 19th of July, 2011. Feel free to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. 15 minutes of public comment pertaining to items that pertain to the agenda for today. Anybody? Okay, we'll close that portion of the meeting. We'll go on to the adoption of the agenda. I have a change to the agenda, a 15-minute executive session after commissioner's comments pertaining to RCW 423110I, which is dealing with legal matters.
Actually, potential litigations, Mr. Chairman.
Potential litigation, thank you. Thank you. And that will be about 15 minutes at the end. Any other changes to the agenda itself? Hearing no other changes, we'll assume adoption of the agenda as modified. Meeting minutes. Approval of or meeting minutes from the meeting of the 5th of July. Any discussion?
I reviewed them. Fine with me.
I have no problem. Before we go any further, let me say that we've got an excused member that called in ill, so Commissioner Miles won't be with us today. I have no comments on the minutes, therefore we'll assume adoption of those minutes for the 5th of July as presented. Check control report.
Oh boy, that's me. That thing. I'm going to change the format a little today and announce in the beginning that I reviewed these checks along with our CPA and our finance manager, and I find the financial affairs of the Port of Shelton to be in good order, and I approved checks number 22608 through 22638 in the amount of $74,218.14.
End of report. And I have no comments one way or the other, so we'll assume acceptance of the check control report as presented. And that brings us down to the action items, which is a primarily discussion on commissioner's use of facilities. I've brought this to the agenda because of an incident that I understand one side of that happened here last Thursday evening, and I don't think there's an opportunity to get the other side of the discussion at this point. But Al, could you fill us in on what happened last Thursday night as far as the use of these facilities are concerned?
Chief, why don't you come up here?
Would you please?
Well, last Thursday, the director was out of town and had appointed Wendy as, we kind of joke call it the director ad litem, but it's while he's gone, we have a, there needs to be someone in that top seat in our chief of command that we can go to if there's stuff that goes on during our normal day. So prior to that, we had some of our staff meetings that discussed at use of the commission chambers and stuff, and at the end of our business day, if the commission chambers wasn't scheduled, that we would clear the building and make sure, and that at the end of the day we would secure it and then go home. So Thursday, later in the afternoon, Commissioner Miles had come in, and he comes in here and uses that desk over there. And about 4:15, I came in and came up front and basically told Jack that we were going to be locking up at 4:30, and that once the 4:30, the time had hit, that he was going to have to leave. And he nodded at me, you know, like this. And so I turned around and left. And then at 4:30, I came back in and talked to Wendy. Part of our normal routine is, you know, usually twice a day, I go to the director, I go to him in the morning, and then I go to him at the end of the day, and we talk about what we're going to do and what the next day is going to bring. So when he wasn't here, I do the same thing for the next person that's in my chain. So I went up to Wendy, and I noticed that Jack was still here, so I came back down, and I walked in, and I said, Commissioner Miles, I said, you know, it's 4:30, we need to lock the building up. You need to leave. And he kind of looked at me, and he says, I have work to do, I'm not leaving. And I said, well, you know, the director had given us an order that we were supposed to clear the building. And he looked at me again, and this time his eyes got real big, and he was kind of agitated. He says, I said that I have work to do, and I am not leaving. And so I said, well, I'll go talk to Wendy and see how she wants to handle it. And at that point, you know, I kind of felt like, you know, things were going to get out of hand really quick with him, you know, because, so I turned around and walked back, and I asked Wendy how she wanted to handle it. And we didn't have anything really in writing. It was a verbal thing that we had talked with John about. And she decided that we would just lock the door between the office and the commission chambers and allow him to stay. And then at that point, I sent the director a text message, which I would do with the last director and this director, and told him what was up and that I would stay at the building, being that I had an order, basically a lawful order given to me from my boss. So I felt that I should stay on site until the building was cleared. So I waited till 5:30, 5:45 when he left, and then I came back in, checked the building and made sure it was secure and left. And so when someone has overtime or anything else, it requires us to do an incident report. That was why I filed an incident report. Okay. So it would back up my overtime.
Okay, thank you.
Anything you want to cover on it?
No, it's pretty much standard policy. Again, we start at 8 o'clock in the morning, we end at 4:30 in the afternoon. Our preference is at 4:30 is that we clear the building. I know sometimes I'll stay till 5:30, 6 o'clock, whatever. But I've asked the staff, I've asked Jack, I want to clear the building at 4:30, I want it locked up. I don't want to be sitting in the back room and have somebody still here and not have some security. So just pretty straightforward. So I would like the commission to kind of entertain something, if you will, to give us some policy, if you will, that would help us to understand what's appropriate and not.
He's not here to defend himself. I've got some pretty important questions for him if he were here. But I find his deportment as a commissioner unacceptable. And not just on this occasion, but on lots of occasions, his manners and his deportment are completely unacceptable to me. And so, with your permission, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to move that the chairman work with our attorney to draft a resolution pertaining to commissioner use of Fork property.
Second the motion. Further discussion?
Not for me. This is a lot lighter than I'd like to be.
I think it's completely appropriate because in the charge of, or the charges to, the executive director from the commission, building security and use of port facilities is totally within the realm of responsibility and authority of the executive director. That's been clearly delegated in the. However, in this case, we've got an entanglement from the commissioner. And so to preclude that kind of thing from happening in the future, I think your motion is completely appropriate. I'd be more than happy to work with the attorney on bringing together at least a draft resolution to be entertained hopefully at the next meeting pertaining to commissioner use of port facilities. That way, hopefully in the future, that will eliminate that entanglement between staff and commissioners.
It's quite simple. You got work to do out here, come earlier. Get it done by 4:30 and get your ass out of here.
Okay, call for the question. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I hear no opposition, the motion carries. Staff comments.
Commissioners, I just have one. I got a call earlier today from Natalie from the newspaper regarding a rumor that's floating around out there about the port dealing with another biomass company, and I wanted to shut that down real quickly. Probably about 6 months ago, I got a call from a company in Texas who produces pellets. The pellets that this company manufactures, if you will, are sold to the European market for their biomass industry. The company was interested in acquiring the old Atlas Pellets company that was in receivership. The company from Texas asked if we had space over on our property, and their intent was to buy Atlas and turn around and move that manufacturing plant over to our property for the purpose of producing the pellets. They were not successful in the bid. There's another company that's already bought Atlas Pellets, so that has gone away. So I'm not in negotiations with anybody on biomass. I don't know why, but anyway, it just seems like that just flared and everybody had to know what
rumors,
was going on.
Rumors start.
Yeah. So anyway, there's that. And then the second thing, obviously, I think everybody just got a copy of it from John and Rachel. And well, maybe they're going to address that in public comment in a minute. But for your interest, that's what the Port of Shelton is going up, 35,000 people. So we're very happy to have the inside front page, if you will. And personally wish Northwest event organizers all the success in the world with the fair coming up. And away we go. So, and that's all I've got.
Anybody else on the staff with comments? Anything further? Okay. Public comments, 15 minutes, 3 minutes per person on anything you'd like to talk about. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Chris Brochet, and I live at 121 East Fairfield. And it's almost comical to watch you guys discuss the standards that Jack should abide by and then watch the rest of you. And it just when I think that the two of you cannot possibly display worse leadership and arrogance towards the public that elected you and that you made an oath to represent, you managed to prove me wrong. It's a mystery to me why the two of you feel like it's more important to protect your executive director than it is the public's interest in the staff. It's obvious, it appears obvious to me and those attending the meetings that Teresa's letter was at least in part the reason she was fired. And I have numerous occasions on video where you complimented her profusely for her work. She obviously cared a great deal about the happenings and the future of the port, and loyal employees like that should be treasured. But you completely threw her away. Mr. Walletner, last month you said that she was terminated by her boss, Mr. Dobson, and not the commissioners, that it wasn't your job. But you also said, quote, that if he, meaning Dobson, screws it up, unquote, then the commissioners are supposed to get involved and talk with him. But how are you going to know if he screwed it up if you don't talk with the people? You offered to sit down with the lady and answer her concerns and questions. Why didn't you extend the same courtesy to Teresa? If indeed there was no merit to her concerns, you could have explained things to her, answered her questions, and retained a valued employee. However, it seems once again the port's continued dysfunctional loyalties you handed over to the executive director and did nothing. Mr. Dobson is supposed to support you. And Mr. Dobson, I wonder if you took the progressive discipline before termination. And once again, I wonder if it raises the port's liability, a liability against the port by not doing your jobs properly. I had hoped you may have learned where your loyalties should lie after the recall. Mr. Huff, you were found not guilty at the recall, but that doesn't mean you were innocent. The judge stated something like factually insufficient. or something like that is the reason that you were let off. But everybody who was there knows that she did not allow the facts to be presented. She only let the lawyer speak, who probably had never been part of a recall before, and also she would not look at the DVD which documented our claims. I had hoped that you would realize that you lucked out and would use the opportunity to become a better public servant. Instead, you still totally disregard the public you swore to represent. I hope more citizens get involved and ensure themselves that Jack or anyone else who may get elected in the next election will not be another puppet for the two of you. I can't imagine how frustrating it must be to work with this, all this. Just reading the newspaper and or the minutes does not adequately reflect the unprofessionalism and the disregard of the community you serve. Please consider becoming the public representative that you were elected to be. And from Mr. Dobson's comment earlier, does that mean then that you will go on record that you do not still are not still trying to get biomass to come to Mason County? Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Tom, you have me too. On the permit.
Mr. Smith.
The permit is selling.
Oh, you said.
Pardon? You got it.
My name is John Smith, and many of you know me, but I believe maybe Mr. Miles isn't here today because he wasn't provided an actual meaningful 24 hours notice, so that could come up in the future. My understanding is that the way that notice is given doesn't provide an actual 24 hours notice.
Yeah, this is a regularly scheduled meeting by resolution and ordinance already. This is not a special meeting requiring notice.
Okay.
This is the commission's regularly scheduled meeting.
But were the was the agenda given 24 hours?
Not required. Not required.
Okay.
So that was just one suggestion. The other thing that I just wanted to comment on is it's clear that there's tension among the commissioners and the staff, and that many of the two of you have expressed a great exception to Mr. Miles, but you need to also bear in mind that there's a large segment of the voters that appreciate that he's trying to protect their interests, and anything that undermines that is really offensive to the people themselves and the democratic principle. Just like I might have personal feelings about any of you, but I have to respect the position, because that position is given you by virtue of the people. And I'd like you to keep that very much in mind in your deliberations about Mr. Miles. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe whatever authority is being attempted to be exerted over him may come up short, legally speaking. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Colin Watson, East 140 Shelton, Fox Lane. This came up earlier this morning at the county meeting. Just, you probably don't even know about it yet, so I thought I would read this. It's under the agenda 8.11, the approval to sign a letter stating there's no objection to the Shelton Mason County to sign a letter that the Chamber of Commerce hosting a beer and wine garden at the Mason Area Fair on Friday, July the 29th from 1 to 9, Saturday, July 30th from 1 to 9, p.m. on Sunday from July 31st to 1 to 5 p.m. at Mason County Fairgrounds. Was brought to the attention that Mason County has nothing to do with the fairgrounds, and if they want, they have no objection to it, but it comes down to who would issue a permit to sell booze or liquor or wine or whatever it is at the fairgrounds becomes either you or Mr. Hanson's problem, not county, not the county. This is what I'd let you know.
That's a county license.
Pardon? No.
It's a county license.
Okay, of course, they deny that, so that's up to you.
All they did was issue a no objection.
That, yeah.
According to what you just read.
Yes, they don't have any objection to it, but they can't issue a license.
I'll keep it simple.
Yeah.
The liquor board.
Can you take the podium, please?
I'm running this meeting, thank you.
This is just a simple answer to, never mind, I'll shut up. Fuck.
I decided to read it to you, that's all.
Thank you. Anybody else?
What's that got to do with it?
Terry Thompson, Union, Washington, Paintbrush Lane. Just a couple of things. One is the actual putting things in words. And I think that's a really good idea. I really think it's a good idea because I think a lot of what is happening here in the court is by verbal word only. And so doing things like writing job descriptions in words, then people really know what it is. I think it's, I would recommend that the board itself, the commission, meet with the attorney and work on a lot of words that the legal profession can put together for some, it seems like, legal situations. Maybe, you know, I'm feeling it really odd that the attorney does have to come to every meeting because I know that that's $200 an hour and I don't think that that's normal for every port to have an attorney that comes to every meeting. So anyway, that's one thing. The other thing is I want to invite everybody here right now out of Harmony Hill today. There's going to be a meeting, a shoreline meeting, and I think it's really important that we all have a better idea of what's going on with our water here. Because every single thing that happens, whether it be the county property, the port property, the city property, is having to do with the water here. It has to do with the shoreline water, it has to do with the seawater, and it has to do with the aquifers. And the aquifers is what we're worrying about the most because the shoreline, the stormwater, it's running into the aquifers along with everything else. So anyway, come, and if you want to find out a little bit more of what's going on with the water, Harmony Hill, there's an open house right now from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock is actually the presentations, and I would really highly recommend, especially if you don't know a lot about the actual what's going on with the water here, to come and learn a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm having a really, really hard time these days being remaining positive about a Mason area, Mason County Fair. It just seems like everything I do, everything I try to attempt, I am up against a stumbling block. And I feel like I'm holding down a rabid dog sometimes because my husband gets very upset with some of the things that are said. And I'm sorry, I realize perhaps you guys aren't given the facts, but their facts are out there. And it's simply, it's like a knee-jerk reaction, people say things. As far as your question about the liquor license, that has nothing to do with the Port of Shelton. There already is a liquor license at the fair and has been there for quite a long time in the form of the rodeo. And we're very appreciative of the fact that our Chamber of Commerce is handling the liquor license because as the Mason Area Fair Association, we represent the interests of children and we do not think it's appropriate that we get funding from that. But as far as the community goes, it's definitely a worthwhile thing and we are representing the local beer, they are representing the local beer and winery and it is a requirement of them to go to the commissioners of the county whenever there is any event holding liquor to get permission from them before they go to the liquor board. So that is why it was on there. And I appreciate the fact that they had no objection because there is no reason to be objectionable. It's whether or not they follow the rules. As far as some of the comments I've been noticing in certain internet portals, I would like to make the point that it does seem to be the understanding that people don't realize what an area fair is. The area fair is represented by the Mason Area Fair Association, the same people that ran the fair with the county. These are superintendent, these are people who run goat barns, these are people who run horses, these are people who represent the children in our community. You can say whatever you want about me, it doesn't matter. I am marketing an event and I'm doing the best job I possibly can because that's what I know what to do. When you walk to the fair and you see all the work that those people have done to put on a fair for our community, I hope you realize that they did not receive any money. They did not receive anything other than the joy of passing on the knowledge that they know. And I hope every single one of you appreciates what they are doing for our children. Secondly, an area fair represents our entire area. It is an area fair that people other than our community go to, and it is a requirement of the Department of Agriculture, not something that we just randomly pulled out of our hat. So I really wish people would understand that there are humans putting on this event. We are terribly in the hole right now, and it is not very positive when every time you open the newspaper, turn on your computer, and I'm sorry, it's like a scab, I can't help but pick it all the time. It hurts, it really hurts. And I am disgusted at my community that this is going on. And I know I'm emotional, and I read it in, and as far as Teresa goes, I'm sorry, but what she said is completely wrong. You guys, read it. Try to not do these knee-jerk reactions. Try to go deeper, okay? Go deeper. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? We'll close the public comment portion of the meeting. Commissioner comments.
Well, I'm sorry that wonderful young woman is upset. She needs to know something. Rumors are faster, but the truth lasts longer. And she's doing a hell of a job putting that area fair together. And if you will look into it, her explanations are correct and accurate. And I wish she hadn't left, because she needs to know that one yowler doesn't make up for 1,000 men in the background who applaud her. I'm done.
I'm greatly disheartened that that Hansons in particular have been tainted by some of the viciousness that surrounds this organization and what we've watched happen here in the last couple of years. That viciousness is not going to subside. I'm sorry for it. I think the truth of the community support for the Mason Area Fair and the work that the Hansons have done and other people that are involved in it, I think the truth of that will be borne out next weekend. I think we're going to see the same kind of support out of this community for the fair that we saw last year, and appreciation for the effort that has gone into it. And I hope that is an element of healing, not only within this community, but with healing of the abuse that we just saw a complaint on. I'm greatly disappointed with the viciousness that the Hansons have been entangled in as a result of things that are focused on this organization and have nothing to do with them. I'm glad to see that 737 sitting out there. Not that I think it signifies a great opportunity for moving back into what was a good opportunity for this port and this community as a result of it a few years back, and dismantling over 30 aircraft. I don't think we're, at this point at least, I don't think we're going to get anywhere near that. But the importance of it is that it's a signal across the country that the Port of Shelton is open to aviation-related business. And you can't buy that kind of advertising. That's the reason I'm delighted to see it out there. I hope there are more to follow, and I hope there's a lot more related business to follow. So with that, we're going to adjourn to an executive session for 15 minutes for the purpose of RCW 423110I, and we'll be back in regular session at 2:45. There's no action anticipated during the executive session, so if you please clear the room.
The second session is the where you might be coming back as public invited to that.
When we reconvene in the regular session, it's open to the public.
And that might be at 2:40, you say?
That will be at 2:45 unless we come out and extend the session between now and 2:45.
What comes up is that you guys listen and don't pay attention to what's going on. That's the problem. If you understand.